amazing grace. There's no other word for it but amazing. Amen. Glad to have you all here tonight. I got to tell you, you sound wonderful. You sound like you've practiced all day long singing together. And I've said it before, I'll say it again, if we had a bus big enough, we'd just hit the road together. Amen. Well, if you have your Bibles, let's go just for a moment to Matthew chapter number 5. I want to say, as Brother Worthen has already said, Brother Barrow has already said, we're thankful for all of our guests who are here tonight. Welcome. It looks good, y'all. Just, we got so many people that are away at camp and on vacations, and it'll be nice when that's all behind us and we can all come back together again. Remember that 2 weeks from today is our church picnic. We'll have our morning service, and then we'll all congregate back over at the Flatwoods Park after service around noon, and we'll just have a great time. The weather's going to break, and it's going to be cooler in Jesus' name. Amen. Humidity's going to go down, the temperature's going to go down, and we're just going to have a great time. Amen. So we'll have a sign-up sheet back there so you can sign up and tell us what you're bringing. We need everybody to bring a dish and just come out and have a good time on, I believe it's the 29th, 2 weeks from today. So if you see me up here doing weird things like this, just, I'm okay, all right? But this place where we're living temporarily, there's woods all over, and the, all the units are made out of wood, and the spiders love it, and they get to live there for free, so they just all come down there. And so every time I walk out my door, especially in the mornings, I told somebody this morning, I said, I know they're up there in that tree saying, Ron Hawkins is going to come out of here in a little while in his suit and tie ready for church. So let's just, we're not worried about the flies. We want to just get him. So they just string their webs all in my path. I came out this morning. If you saw me from a distance, you would have thought I lost my mind, because there's nothing as crazy as a guy trying to get spider webs off of him. So I feel like I have one right here. It could be a spider web, and it could be my wife's hair. I don't know. It's something. It's going to drive me crazy. Let's just get into the Word. What do you say? But you know what? Little things like that the Lord can speak to you in. Because I came out of my house today just frustrated, trying to, all over my hair. I'm trying to peel it out of my hair and off my face, and praying nobody was watching me. I was by myself. I get out early, come to church early, and I was by myself. And the Lord kind of spoke to me and said, you know, you've lived here now for what, weeks? You know, every time you come out, especially in the morning, there's spider webs everywhere. Why don't you get a plan? All you need is a stick. You know, I've mushroom hunt every year. I know about getting spider webs out of the way with the stick. I just don't think about it in the mornings. And he said, you know, that's really the way a lot of us, we come to church that way. We just kind of come to the house of the Lord, and then we get here and all these little things start popping in our mind and trying to irritate us. Those spider webs aren't going to kill me. They just irritate me. And there's a lot of things that just sometimes they just irritate us. But if we could just, and I told you Wednesday night, just come to church with a praise on our lips, already got our minds right, already prayed through all that stuff the devil's going to try to distract us with. Well, that'll preach right there, won't it? Go to Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 6. I'll just read that. I'll let you be seated. Jesus says, blessed are they which do hunger. Would you say hunger? And thirst, would you say thirst? After righteousness, for they shall be, say it with me, filled. I want to preach to you tonight on that topic, and you may be seated. But you know what, before you sit down, shake a few hands and greet them while I fetch my water. Greet one another. Pray for my wife. She came this morning not feeling well, went home, started feeling worse, and I believe she's probably watching us right now on live stream at home, not feeling good at all. So pray for her if you would tonight. And let me take you immediately from Matthew to the Gospel of John, and there, chapter 7. You can turn if you like. You can observe the screen. And John chapter 7, verse 37, Jesus is there, and he's at this feast where all of these festivities are taking place, and some of them had to do with water. In fact, they were pouring water in different cauldrons from different pitchers. It was all ceremonial. I won't go into the ceremonies, but in that last day of that feast, that great day of the feast, when everything kind of culminated and came together, Jesus stood. Now, there's a crowd here, okay? And Jesus stood with all of these festivities, including and involving water and the pouring of water and the traveling of water. And he stood up in the midst of everyone and cried. Now, this is one of the few times that Jesus just stood up and started crying out loud to anybody who would listen. Other times, and in fact, in our opening text in Matthew 5, he didn't stand up and start crying. He just went up to a mountain and sat down, and his disciples gathered around him, and he opened his mouth and began to teach them. Other times, he would just walk through the streets. Brother Barrow mentioned it this morning, how they brought to him all manner of sick people that were sick. He just walked through the streets and they would come. But this time Jesus would stand up in the last day of the feast and cry. And he said this, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me," I'm crying it out loud because this is the way Jesus said it. "He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." And Jesus was quoting scripture like he had at other times. And then he looked around and said, "By the way, the scripture that I'm talking to you about this living water, if you come to me, I'm the one you've been waiting for. I'm the fulfillment of this prophecy. If you're hungry, if you're thirsty," Jesus said, "come on. If you're thirsty, come to me. If you're in need, come to me. If you're longing for something that you do not have, bring it on," Jesus said. "Here it is. You will find it in me." And then John provides the parenthetical clarification of what Jesus is referring to in verse 39 when he says, "But this he spake of the Spirit." He's talking about the Holy Ghost, the Spirit which they that believe on him should receive, because the Holy Ghost was not yet given because that Jesus was not yet glorified. So let me just start by talking about the wonderful, glorious, miraculous, precious gift of the Holy Ghost. And somebody's already said it tonight. I believe it was Brother Worthen. If you don't have it, it's for you, and you can have it before you leave tonight, because the Holy Ghost is thick in this place tonight. If you want it, you can have it. If you need it, you can receive it. The Bible says that it is living water. Somebody say living water. The Holy Ghost, let me just tell you, is life. It's abundant life. It's a holy life. It's a blessed life. I didn't come to talk bad about it. I just came to tell you everything good about it. It's living water. It's fountainous water. It's ever-flowing water. The Holy Ghost never quits flowing. It never gets stagnant. It just keeps on springing up. It's ever bubbling in my soul. What's that little kid song? We used to sing some really cool kid songs. We don't sing those songs anymore. We got other songs now. But we used to sing, "It's a bubbling, it's a bubbling." Remember that? "It's a bubbling in my soul. I'll sing it." You know it? "I'll shout it." Where'd you go? You all were doing great a while ago. There it is. Yeah, there's different versions. I'm learning new versions. Y'all got off there now. You all got off there now. We better hold off on the bus. You better not make a down payment on the bus yet. Well, the reason is because there's different versions of that. Some people don't understand it, but this one thing I know, it's a bubbling, bubbling, bubbling. Another one says, what's the other version, Sister Cindy? "Folks don't understand it, but I can't keep it quiet. It's bubbling, bubbling." They're all accurate, you know. You can make up just all kinds of words as long as it's talking good about the Holy Ghost. It's true. But the point is, it's bubbling. It's bubbling. From the minute I got it, let me just tell you, I was baptized. Some of you young men, listen to me up here on the front row. When I was 8 years old, I went into some cold water at the Sanders Pentecostal Church. I'll never forget it. I still remember it like it just happened yesterday. Got in the water, and Brother Nelson, Brother Russell Nelson, my pastor, spoke the words over me. "Ronnie, I now baptize you in the name name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. And a little 8-year-old boy who hadn't done a whole lot in his life yet, but was still a sinner, went under the water a sinner, came up out of the water with his sins washed away. That was a glorious day, but there was still a thirst there. There was still a hunger there. And so I went about another several months, maybe about a year. I was 9 years old. Holy Ghost was moving in one of the services. Brother Nelson was preaching. He wasn't preaching anything out of the ordinary. It was not a different service. It was just a Saturday, Sunday night, I believe it was, service. And at the end of the service, he gave an altar call like I'm going to give here tonight. We're going to have an altar call, good old-fashioned altar call, where whatever you need, if you need the Holy Ghost, you come up here, you'll get the Holy Ghost tonight. If you need a healing, you can come up here when I'm finished preaching. You don't even have to wait till I'm finished preaching. Just run on up here anytime. God can fill you with the Holy Ghost tonight. And I went to the altar, Brother Hank, and bowed down there because that's the way we did it back then. If you needed the Holy Ghost, some of y'all listen to me. You've been baptized, but you don't have the Holy Ghost yet. When I was your age, every night we went to the altar because I wanted the Holy Ghost. Every night was Holy Ghost night. We didn't need camp. We didn't need a Holy Ghost rally. We didn't need a special service. Every night was Holy Ghost night. So let me tell y'all, if you've been baptized and you don't have the Holy Ghost, every service come expecting to receive the precious gift of the Holy Ghost. It's for you. And but at 9 years old, Brother Worthen, the Bible says that they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. I was filled with the Holy Ghost to the point where, just like they did in the Bible, I began to speak with other tongues I had never learned, a language I did not know. It seemed a little strange, but it sure did feel good. And I just spoke in that other language, Brother Gunderman, for quite a little while. And I got up from the altar at 9 years old with this new thing bubbling. That's a great way to describe it. It was bubbling in me. I went to school. I was different. I started growing up. I was different. It just been with me all along. You might think I'm a little strange. Oh, I just got the Holy Ghost. Come on now. It's fountainous. It's ever flowing. It's bubbling in my soul. And this Holy Ghost experience, it is a culture of life and not death. It's blessings and not curses. It's joy and not misery. Come on now, it's peace and not anguish. When you get the Holy Ghost, I'm just so amazed, I'm thrilled, I'm overwhelmed by its continuous flow. It's never stopped. You say, Brother Hawkins, you mean you've always felt wonderful? No, I feel bad sometimes, but all I got to do is start talking to Jesus and the Holy Ghost starts moving in me and pretty soon I feel good again. I've had valleys and I've had trials and I've had situations, I've had circumstances that were not good circumstances, but the Holy Ghost has never left me. And it's never stopped flowing up in me. I believe I've got some witnesses here tonight. It's a continuous flow. And I don't care what others think, because I got the Holy Ghost. I was thirsty, and I went to Jesus. Nobody else could fill it. Nobody else could quench it. All I can say is if you ever get filled, if you ever get the Holy Ghost, some of y'all may not have it. Some of you do, and you'll know what I'm talking about. When you get it, sometimes you will shout because it's living water. It's not dead. And sometimes, hear me now, sometimes, some of y'all can't do this anymore, but some of you can, and you should, and you ought to every once in a while. Sometimes you will run because it's living water and not dead water. Ah, yeah, come on. Sometimes I can still do this. Sometimes you will jump because the Holy Ghost is living water and not dead water. And sometimes you'll give the Lord a shout. Sometimes you'll clap your hands. Sometimes, come on, it'll make you dance. Sometimes it might even make you drunk because it's living water. There's nothing dead about it. There's nothing dry about it. There's nothing dull or mundane about the Holy Ghost. Come on, if you got it in this place, act like it. Give the Lord a shout. Give the Lord a praise. Clap your hands, somebody. Jump for joy, somebody. Leap, somebody. Come on, if you got it. It's living water. In a world, in a culture full of death, we've got living water. But one thing this living water will not do, it will not produce a culture of death, misery, destruction, depression. Peter says to the contrary in 1 Peter chapter 2, down around verse 3, if so be you have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone. Somebody say living stone. Disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. You also as lively stone. Somebody say, I'm a lively stone. Nothing dead about me. I'm a lively stone. He says, you are built up a spiritual house. Not a dead house, a spiritual house. Not a carnal house, but a spiritual house. You're in a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. But you're a chosen generation. I preached this last week. I believe it was. You're a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people that you should show forth. There ought to be something different about you when you get the Holy Ghost. You won't act like everybody else. You're going to show forth. Not show off, but show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. Now, here's the best news about the wonderful Holy Ghost. If you want it, you can have it. And it is a gift. Jesus said, if any man thirsts, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me. He says, and I'll give them water. Matthew 5, 6, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. If you were hungry, if you were thirsty for righteousness. Now, if you're not, you will not be filled. He will not force this upon you. But if you're hungry, if you're thirsty for righteousness, you shall be. He's not going to give you a little bit of Holy Ghost. He's not just going to give you, you know, here, anybody like me, gas is so high right now, it's hard for me to fill up my tank. I go to the gas station, I keep thinking, I'm going to fill it up and it's going to drop 50 cents. So I just squirt a little in there to get me by. I shouldn't do that, but I do it. Jesus didn't like that. When he gives you the Holy Ghost, he doesn't say, well, I'll just give Brother Bunch here a little bit of Holy Ghost. And we'll see how he handles it. We'll see if he's faithful. He says, okay, if I put a little bit in you, there'll still be a lot of you in there. So I'm just going to fill you up with the Holy Ghost. I'll fill you up to the brim. You'll be overflowing and you'll be speaking in a heavenly language. Come on, somebody. And you're so full of the Holy Ghost, there's no room for anything else. No more junk, no more carnality, no sin. When you get the Holy Ghost, you will be filled. Now, while I'm talking about being filled with the Holy Ghost, let me just give you a little illustration. This is not original with me. I didn't make it up. I wish I had, but I didn't. But if I fill this bottle up to the top with water, and I go over here, and I bump into Brother Neil. Is that right to call you Brother Neil? I bump into Brother Neil, and something splashes out, and it's full of water. What's going to come out? Holy Ghost. Y'all are trying to preach my message. If it's got water in it, y'all are so spiritual. The Holy Ghost, brother. It's water. It's H2O, okay? The Holy Ghost, pastor, yes. If there's water in here and I bump into him, he's going to get water on him. And if you're full of the Holy Ghost, whatever you bump into, whatever you have to go through, whatever situation you're in, you bump into something in the Holy Ghost, you shouldn't have cuss words spilling out of you. Come on now, you shouldn't have ugliness spilling out of you. The Holy Ghost will spill out of you. Everywhere you go, you'll be acting holy, talking holy, walking holy. Why? Because you got the Holy Ghost. You're filled. When he gives it to you, he fills you up to the brim and all that's in there. Come on now. You go to church and the Holy Ghost will spill out. You go to work and the Holy Ghost will spill out. You go do some family time. And you go to Florida. And the Holy Ghost will spill out. That's good preaching. Truly hungry people will behave differently than those who are satisfied. And so if you're satisfied, now I'm not preaching to everybody tonight, because there are people who are in the world and they like being in the world, and they're not interested in what I'm preaching about tonight. So You will not be hungry and thirsty for what I'm preaching tonight, or at least if you are, you do not know it yet. But there's some people that may be listening in or watching in or even here tonight, and you've been trying stuff. You've tried lifestyles. You've tried the world. You've tried the alcohol. You've tried the drugs. You've tried the man, the woman, the whatever. You've tried all of these different things, and it still leaves you feeling hungry and thirsty, and there's something about it. It felt good when you were doing it, but then when the effect wore off, you were still so thirsty. I'm preaching to you, and I'm telling you that truly hungry people, truly thirsty people will behave differently than those who are satisfied. Remember a little man in the Bible? I call him a little man because the Bible says he was of little stature. His name was Zacchaeus. We see him depicted as a short little man. That's the way the Bible describes him. And he heard that Jesus was coming by. Now, this man was a tax collector. He collected taxes from his fellow citizens, the other Jews, but he worked for the Romans, and he was hated by everybody. The Romans just made him do his job. They didn't like him. He was a Jew. Jews didn't like him because he would take money from them to give to the Romans, and they knew he was lying in his own pockets too. It's what publicans did. And so here's this little height-challenged tax collector. And he's so, you know, he'd go take your money all day long and feel good when he was taking your money, feel good when he was spending the money, feel good when he bought that boat, felt good when he bought that car, felt good when he bought those platform shoes maybe, and whatever. He was little. Felt good when he was spending the money. But at the end of the day, anybody ever been there? You don't have to give yourself away, but you've maybe been there when you were in the world and, you know, if I said to you, are you having a good time? At the time, you might say, I'm having a great time. But at the end of the day, when it's just you and your soul and everybody else is gone, there was something in you that was missing. And Zacchaeus said, I got a lot of money. I got a lot of things going on, but something's not right in my life. And he began to hear about this man named Jesus, and he got hungry. And Brother Bill, when you're hungry, it'll cause you to do things. And when you're thirsty, it'll cause you to do things that people who are satisfied will not do. I've heard of people drinking disgusting water out of disgusting things. Before, I won't tell you what I've heard, but some of it would make you sick because they were so thirsty. If they didn't drink that water in that hole right now, they would die. So you're not worried about, well, what brand is it? I've got people in my house. I won't tell you who she is. She's not here tonight. Father, when you buy bottled water, do not get spring water. Is it spring water you don't care for? Do not buy spring water, Father. She talks like that. No, she doesn't really. She doesn't care for the spring water when we buy bottled water, but she may be a little bit on it, you know what I mean? But when you're thirsty, I mean, if you're dehydrated and you're really thirsty, you don't look at the bottle. Well, this is spring water. Well, this is, what other water is there? Purified water. This water has minerals in it. Well, this is Aquafina. I don't drink Aquafina. When you're really thirsty, you'll drink water out of the water fountain. Little kids been up there spitting all over it, and their mouths all over it. And when you're really thirsty, you just wipe it off with your sleeve and get you a drink. I'm talking about when you're thirsty. Now, if you think that's ridiculous, you've never really been thirsty, see? And truly thirsty people will say, I hear that Jesus is coming and I can't see him from down here, so I'll do, hear me, whatever. Somebody say whatever. I will do whatever I must do to get to a position where if I've got to climb, then I will climb. And Zacchaeus said, I'm going to climb me this tree so I can get up and get elevated above some of the other stuff that would obstruct my view, because I am so hungry, I am so thirsty, I've got to get up where I can at least see Jesus. Hear me, when you're really thirsty, you'll come to church and you won't worry about how hot or cold it is. You won't worry about who's sitting next to you or not. You won't worry. Come on, some of this junk we worry about sometimes. If when you're really thirsty, when you're really desperate for God, you'll rise above some of that stuff. Come on, give me a break. So-and-so didn't shake my hand. So-and-so didn't talk to me. So-and-so, you're not really thirsty, or you wouldn't even think about some of that stuff. I don't come for that. I hope you shake my hand, because I love to shake hands with people. But if you don't, I'm still going to get up here and see Jesus. And if I have to climb, I will climb. If I have to pray over some stuff, hear me, I will pray over some stuff. But when I come to church, it's all about me and Jesus making a connection and me getting that drink that I so desperately need from the Lord. And at that moment, nothing else really matters. Can I tell some of y'all something? You better get over that personality junk. Well, I can't because so-and-so. I can't go there because so-and-so. I can't go there because you're gonna mess yourself up so bad you can't go anywhere because there's so-and-so everywhere. I think that was the Holy Ghost. It felt like it right there. Some of you need to hear this now. Let me help you with something. You let one person get in your spirit, cause you to get a bad attitude, you will be surprised how everywhere you go, there is somebody who will remind you of that person. They'll talk like them, or they'll look like them, or they'll walk like them, or their mannerisms are like them, and it'll drive you crazy. I can't go here because of that, and I can't go here because of that. I can't worship there because of that. Brother Worthen, I love you, but I hope you do understand that if you and I ever get crossways with one another, we're going to work it out, but in the meantime, we're going to go ahead and worship Jesus, aren't we? Because we come for the Lord. I'm here for Jesus. I'm here for the Holy Ghost. I'm here to get my drink. That's not in my notes, but it must have been meant to be said. The woman with the issue of blood, she didn't let the crowd get in her way. She made her way through that press and got to Jesus, because hunger will cause you to expend your last reserve of energy to press through. Bartimaeus was hungry when he cried out to the Lord because he was blind and could not see. And nobody else was going to help him out of his predicament. And when he heard Jesus coming by, he began to cry out with a loud voice. And even when the people said, "Be quiet, you're going to make a scene here and you're going to embarrass the neighborhood, so just be quiet." And Zacchaeus, the Bible says, he cried even louder. Jesus, thou son of David. Oh, you don't understand. You must not be thirsty like me. You're checking the bottle to see if it's spring water or Aquafina. But I'm thirsty. I've got to get my healing. If I don't get a hold of Jesus right now, I may never get my vision back. If I don't get a hold of Jesus, come on, there are times where if you don't get it right now, you will miss your moments. And if you're hungry and if you're thirsty, you won't let some little situation mess up your moment. I'm preaching better than some of you are amening me, but I can preach anyway. I'm telling you, don't let anything mess up your Jesus encounter. If you're hungry, get it. If you're thirsty, get it. And don't let anything get in your way. Mary had everybody staring at her when she walked into that room with the alabaster box, ready to worship Jesus, ready to break it out, anoint him, and everybody was staring at her with indignation. And if she wanted to use logic and she wanted to use the etiquette culture of the day, she could have just said, "You know, I came, I tried, I did my best, but I'm not welcome there." And she would have been justified. I really do believe that she might have been justified to do it another time, because she wasn't welcome there by most people. But she understood this. This isn't about you, Simon. This isn't about you, disciples. This isn't about all everybody staring at me about why is she here. I come for that man right there. I came because I'm hungry and I'm thirsty. And I heard that Jesus was in this house. And when you're thirsty and when you're desperate, hunger will cause you to do the unprecedented and make you give your all to the Lord. The psalmist said in chapter 42, verse 1, as the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. And the wonderful news is, if you are hungry for him, you shall be filled. Acts chapter 2, verse 1, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. It filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire. Now watch this, because this is the first time we read about the Holy Ghost being delivered. And it set upon each of them, and they were all filled. Would you say filled? Filled with the Holy Ghost. And began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. If you are hungry, it's for you. Somebody read it here a while back. Brother Southern, I believe, preached on John chapter 6, verse 66. When the multitudes are winnowed down. From that time, many of his disciples, that's the crowd, that's the multitude, the Bible says, when he began to speak to them about who he was and the fact that he was the bread from heaven and they had to partake of him or they had no part in heaven, then many of them, the Bible says, many of them went back and they walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, everybody else has forsaken me, will you also go? John 6, 68. Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. In other words, Peter said, Lord, we are hungry for. And what we are hungry for, we found it in you. And we don't need to look anywhere else. Psalm 84:10. Better is one day in your courts, Lord, than 1,000 elsewhere. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of the wicked. When you're hungry, you just want to be with him. So I didn't come tonight to preach anyone out of anything. I came to invite you into the most satisfying, fulfilling, overflowing life that you could ever imagine. Let me tell you this. I do not live this life because I'm a pastor. I do not live this life because I have to. I do not refrain from certain things because I have to. You know why Brother Hawkins don't go to bars? It's not because I can't. I'm over the age. That's not that funny. Some of you wondered. You know why I don't drink, and you know why I don't do drugs, and you know why I don't look at women or run around on my wife or tell dirty jokes or watch ungodly stuff or go ungodly places? It's not because I've been a grown man for a long time. My mom and dad haven't told me what to do for a long time. I don't have anybody following me around, commanding, demanding, punishing me. I'm going to tell you why I don't do any of those things. It's not because I can't do them. I am just so hungry and so thirsty for him. I hear this word, love my God so much that my whole attitude changed when I got the Holy Ghost. And it went from being, where can I go? What can I do? How much can I do? It went from that to, Lord, to whom shall I go? This is the best thing I've ever experienced. You say, Brother Hawkins, you never drank whiskey before. You don't know what you're talking about. I maybe haven't, but I've seen what whiskey does. Well, Brother Hawkins, you've never smoked a joint. You don't know what you're talking about. Maybe I haven't, but I see where that leads. Like I said, I'm old enough not just to be able to do it. I'm old enough now that I see where it goes. So I didn't come to preach you out of anything. You can drink and you can smoke and you can chew. And the old saying says, you can run with those who do. If you want, that's totally up to you. I sound like Dr. Seuss, do I not? I didn't mean to make those many rhymes, but there it is. You can do that. I didn't come to tell you that you're bad or evil or wicked. I just came to tell you there really truly is something better. It's just the best. And when you taste of Jesus, when you get a drink of this fountainous, ever-flowing water, well, Jesus said it, you'll never thirst again. Let's stand together. Oh, I love you, Jesus. Anybody want to take a minute and just love the Lord for just a little bit here? Why don't you just do that? I love you, Lord. I thank you for the Holy Ghost. So hungry for you, Lord. So thirsty for you, Lord. Oh, God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. Lord, to see your power and your glory, that's what we want. Psalm 63, verse 3. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Let me help you here. If you want a drink of this water, maybe some of you just like to get a refilling tonight. That's okay. God will do that for you. My lips shall praise thee. So one thing we're going to do here, all of us in the building, we're going to begin to praise the Lord with our lips. See, Brother Hawkins, I don't know the words to say. I've never done this before. That's all right. Just think if you were telling your son or your daughter or your husband or your wife or your brother or your sister or your mom or your dad how you felt about them. You might say something like, Dad, I love you. Father, I love you. Jesus, I love you. That's worship when you say it in a sincere heart. Your lips are praising him. I love you, Jesus. I praise you, Lord. Could we do that together right now? Lord, I love you. I praise you. I love you so much. You're a good father. You're a loving God. And my lips shall praise thee. And verse 4 says, this will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. So another way we praise him is to lift our hands. Why don't we just do that together? Could we do that? We'll just lift up our hands. Lord, in your name. And my lips shall praise thee. I love you, Jesus. I praise you, Lord. And one of the greatest praise words that we know is hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. It means the highest praise I give you, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. I love you, Jesus. With lifted hands, I praise you. Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. I'm so hungry for you, God. I'm so thirsty for you, Lord. Come on, let's do it. Let's worship. Let's praise him. I open this altar tonight to those who would like to receive the precious gift of the Holy Ghost of which I preached. Why don't you come? Maybe there's somebody here tonight that you want to come back home to the Lord. Why don't you come? Somebody's here tonight and you've got a problem bigger than you can solve. Why don't you come? You need a healing in your body. I'm just going to open this altar to whoever wants this wonderful living water. Why don't you just come tonight? Come on, why don't you come? Why don't you let the Lord bless you? Why don't you let the Lord fill you tonight? Whatever you need, you'll find it in Jesus. I said, whatever you need, you will find it in Him. Please come. Please give Jesus a try. What have you got to lose?
Your presence is heaven.
Come on, we're going to extend this call. For just a few minutes, we're going to call the church in. Can we close our eyes all over the building? Just worship. Close your eyes. Maybe somebody the Lord's dealing with your heart right now. You know you want to make the move. I'm asking you to make a commitment. See, Brother Hawkins, why do I have to walk up front? You don't have to. But it would be a commitment on your part to say, Lord, I'm serious. I want to really make this start with you tonight. And if you'd come, somebody would pray with you. So this altar is open to you. Lord, I know you're dealing with hearts. I know you're dealing with hearts. I bind every spirit that would try to hinder, every spirit that would try to hold somebody back. We bind it in Jesus' name. Give them clarity of mind, Lord. Deal with hearts in the name of Jesus. Presence is heaven. Church, could we gather in and have a season of prayer tonight? Maybe you'd like to gather with the church. Just come on. That's all right. Everybody's welcome. We want you to pray. We'd like to pray with you. God is going to bless you tonight. God has wonderful things in store for you tonight. Just taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.